gets me riding. Hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. Thank you so much for tuning in. You know, it kind of reminds me of an episode of the show Animal Kingdom. This story, a one-year anniversary of a very daring theft. It was a gold heist. The word heist, that's something that I've always associated with movies. You know, I love a good heist film or a good heist show. And Animal Kingdom, it was one of my favorite shows. Not for a moment am I glamorizing crime at all. It was just very entertaining seeing these daring stunts being, you know, pulled off by this crime family. So you might recall it was about a year ago, there was a multi-million dollar gold heist at Pearson Airport. It fascinated me. Like, how does something like this happen? How is it orchestrated? How much of it is an inside job? How much planning goes into it? How many people does it take to pull something like this off? It is fascinating. Well, police say a task force investigating this multi-million dollar gold heist at Pearson Airport that happened last year has arrested multiple people, laid 19 related charges, and interrupted a large quantity of firearms as well, intended for import into Canada in connection with the case. That right there, whenever we talk about firearm safety, and I talk to people who are advocates of firearms, safe, legal firearms in Canada. I might not agree with everything they are for. I'm not a firearms person, but I get it. Legal, law-abiding firearms owners, I don't believe they're the problem. But, you know, talking to the CEO of that of the advocacy group, he always says, you know, it's the illegal importation that's a big part of the problem that we have with firearms. And he's always said, if I can be a help with solving that, I would. But I don't know what the solution is. So I'm glad we're hearing this. But joining us on the phone right now to talk about what happens next and talk about this type of heist is one of my favorite people to talk to, CTV public safety analyst and former OPP commissioner Chris Lewis, joining us on the phone. Chris, good morning and thanks for coming on such short notice.
Good morning, Dan. Always good to talk to you.
And I recall talking to you about this almost a year ago, and we actually shared our mutual love of the show Animal Kingdom, because this
It's
something straight out of Animal Kingdom, I think. You know, biggest challenges for law enforcement that they face when investigating like a high-profile heist like the one that happened at Toronto Pearson Airport?
Well, you know what? This is really what movies and TV shows are all about.
Yeah.
Exactly what we heard and saw, and that was 1 year ago.
Right.
Actually, to the day.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, I mean, right from the beginning, it certainly reeked of inside help.
Right.
There's no way you or I would just know that gold's going to be at a certain place and time and have the fake ID and all the things required
right.
to pull it off. So it was well organized. They had inside help. One former and one current employee were arrested and charged. Actually, I think one's still on the run, but there's a warrant for him. So
right.
Anyway, it's very complex, but Peel Police, a big, well-resourced police department, lots of expertise, and they ultimately followed the track of that truck through video all through the area to a certain point. And they've been looking for the guy that was arrested in Pennsylvania with the guns for some time, and so his arrest down there obviously assisted them in some way of putting it all together.
Unreal, like when you think, I mean, unreal to me, because that just blows my mind that a heist like this can be pulled off the way it was pulled off. Like you said, it's right out of the movies. And B, you know, the investigation that goes into this, even assembling, you know, the trail of video footage to kind of track this truck, it really is mind blowing. Is this kind of how it goes? Like, can you elaborate a bit on the typical investigative process that law enforcement agencies undertake in cases of large scale like this?
Well, when something like that happens, obviously they start at the scene and try and work their way in terms of the escape route of those involved. And getting the video, there's so many businesses have video and now it's facing the street. That was a starting point. Did they have any tips ahead of time? Did they have any tips immediately once it happened saying, hey, you better look for so-and-so? I always give the name Dan when I'm in trouble.
So, Dan from Windsor.
Dan from Windsor. Did they have any intelligence this sort of thing was going to happen at a time? Likely not, or security would have been more robust, I'm sure. So that would be the starting point. And then they'd be tapping to every source in the community, every criminal informant to say, hey, what are you hearing? And then where do you get rid of gold?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, if it's guns or if it's gold or if it's whatever, only certain people have the ability and the contacts to unload $20 million in gold, process it maybe and melt it down. So there'd be a whole pile of different things that they were looking at the front end. And then one thing leads to another, leads to another. But the number of people that were arrested wouldn't surprise me at all if someone was talking. Perhaps they use surveillance. Perhaps they use, you know, audio video surveillance, like wiretaps, that sort of thing. They're not saying at this point, but to put a big conspiracy like that together with all those players takes a lot of work and a lot of resources and a lot of money.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah, this isn't small pickings. Like you said, $20 million in gold, and again, offloading that gold, huge plan. You know, I'm wondering too, you know, international borders, does that complicate the investigation at all? You know, having law enforcement have to collaborate with other agencies domestically and internationally to apprehend suspects, is that a challenge to it all as well? Or is it pretty easy to work in tandem?
I think, you know, it really used to be a bigger challenge than it is. The digital world and email and, you know, phones and everything we have now makes it a lot better. And U.S. And Canadian law enforcement agencies work together all the time. The ATF, who we heard were involved in the gun investigation in the South, they have people assigned to work right in Toronto and in Ottawa. And they work with Canadian, probably in Windsor once in a while, working with Canadian U.S. authorities there. So there's a lot of that cooperation, Dan, sharing of intelligence, analysis around intelligence, and then following up on leads. Through a phone call and a little bit of work, you can get people helping you in the U.S. or vice versa.
Wild. And just reading to here, the suspect was able to gain access to the warehouse that had this gold. They used a legitimate airway bill, and that's a document typically issued by a carrier with details on the shipment. That was actually a duplicate for a delivery of seafood that had been picked up a day prior, which, I mean, it's straight out of Animal Kingdom. I can't help but make that. But, you know, based on this story here, you know, what lessons can be learned to improve security? Because I feel like security around this is already really, really tight. But do you think this will result in stricter security measures at airports to prevent this kind of thing from happening in the future?
Absolutely. I mean, they would have looked at all the failings here and put things in place to, you know, make things better for the future, without a doubt. It's just like a police operation. When things go bad, they obviously do an assessment and try and figure out policy issues and training issues and command and control issues to improve things, and security would be doing the same. I mean, they didn't know it was missing until the real owner showed up. And
right.
They said, well, where is it? Well, now they're backtracking, trying to figure out, well, where did it go? How did it leave here within an hour?
Right.
So they, either way, they knew a truck they were looking for, and they followed it, and they knew fairly quickly who was driving it. So anyway, pretty complex, but the international piece, everybody works together, particularly in this terrorism and organized crime world that law enforcement is dealing with.
Right. Yeah. Police saying the theft was the largest gold heist in Canadian history, which is amazing. I could imagine them making a movie out of this, to be honest. You know, I'm curious to know, when it is such a big thing like this, and this might be more into the legal end of things, but is it kind of like peeling back the layers of an onion? You know, once this person starts talking, oh, this leads to this. Does that typically happen in cases of this scale?
Quite often people are people, and they're quite often looking for a deal, you know.
Yeah.
Rather than get 10 years, if you give me four, I'll tell you who else is there, that sort of thing.
Right, yes.
But you have to have enough evidence to have people be charged and arrested and put in a position where they want to cooperate to try and get some sort of a deal. What's really interesting about this, Dan, is an old former state police or provincial police officer, Pennsylvania State Police, which is very much like the OPP in how they do their policing. An astute officer out there saw something when they stopped a vehicle for a traffic violation that started the ball rolling and inevitably ended up in a seizure of 65 guns and identifying and arresting the guy responsible. That's frontline policing. And you always think of detectives and SWAT teams and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Those frontline officers out there, the streets of Windsor, the streets of Essex County right now, they're stopping cars that don't know what's in them. And they can't just give a ticket and walk away. They need to be very aware and look for things that might lead them further.
Wow. Yeah, it's an amazing story. It really is. And I know they're saying more to come, too. So I'm sure we will see more to come from this as well as the story unfolds. Yeah.
Let's hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, a pleasure talking with you as always. And thank you so much for joining the show this morning.
You too. Thanks for calling back.